Sorry about that. Let's get back to the topic. As I open the phones. Okay, the phone thing came up. All right, hey. It's my first time back in almost a week away. So I'm not even trying to work out the kinks. I'm just trying to get back to my normal kinks. I've got some additional kinks and technical difficulties that I didn't have before. They're still growing and evolving. Into what, though? Sometimes, you know, that's how every Godzilla movie, they got the eggs at the bottom of the ocean. You know, just because it's growing, they, I mean, tumors grow. What are they growing into? But anyway, they came at me. They bum-rushed me. That's not, I'm just trying to describe this individual, this demographic of hashtag black girl, the hashtag army, you know, black girl accidents, black girls rock. They're all with Afro punk, social justice, you know, say her name, those sisters. And, you know, like I said, I'm old, crusty, and dusty. So maybe I'm just, you know, it's kind of like how the Black Panthers looked at the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. Like these stuffy old dudes in these tweed sport coats, in these hats, these derbies. You know, the kind of man that smoked them thin white cigarettes during church service. Those days are gone. And then they came the Black Panthers. And leather berets, leather jackets, combat boots. It's just a whole different manifestation. And after them came the flower children. You had brothers with dreads like, yo, legalize the herb, you know. Because the Panthers, they had a more militant stance, but they still smoked the cigarettes. They still drank the hard liquor when they was out there fighting. Then you had the new guys that's like, no, women's rights, man, you know, and yeah, man. And then in the 90s, you had different World Cosby Show Negroes took over. It's like, oh, it's not about, like Oprah said back in the 80s, it ain't about black and white now, it's all about green. And so maybe that's where I am. Maybe, you know, they could tell me something. But anyway, let me get to this, what happened. I had said something to the effect that young black people getting into the Ivy Leagues is not black excellence, it's black obedience. And some of these septum-pierced, tattooed-up, modern-day Rosa Parks were like, no, us getting into their schools, the work that we do is really significant. And then they say things like, I'm shaming some, like, they throw these things at you, and I'm like, no, I'm not shaming, darling. What this here is called mocking. This here is called ridiculing. This here is called snapping on. I'm making fun of you. I'm not trying to shame you. I genuinely don't care. You know, it's my own entertainment that I'm concerned about. If you walk away from this with your head held high, don't consider it a loss. In fact, I hope you do, but I'm not shaming you. Like, And I'm like, you. They weren't even talking to me. It's like they have this pre-recorded script, you know, like, you know, if I run into a white guy, then obviously if I'm debating a white guy online, most of their life is online. Because even at the protest, you don't really see people talking to each other and engaging each other at the protest. They're screaming at empty buildings, corporate buildings, you know, or they screaming at a good distance at police precinct. You know, that's all is. Protest now is just screaming at various structures that represent power. We're going to meet at City Hall. We're going to meet at the police precinct. We're going to meet at the corporate headquarters. Or sometimes they'll just meet at the park, open space, and scream at the sky. You know, but anyway, they don't really interact with each other. You know, even and these are the bastard children of the Occupy movement, which was really the first baseless, amorphous, decentralized pseudo-movement of this. That's how everything now, the real movements have to be decentralized because nobody wants to be. And I don't blame y'all. Believe you me, I don't blame the young people. Because when we look at established organizations, and I'm telling you, the Rainbow Coalition, National Black United Front, New Black Panther Party, the Nation of Islam, do I got to keep going? Republic of New Africa, the New Wabians. A lot of these more traditional, even the UNIA is still around. NAACP, SCLC, when you look at these old organizations, these centralized, hierarchical, dues pay, due requiring organizations, they are really stagnant, if not just crappy. You do have the Uhuru movement. They are trying to, you know, modernize, but you know their leader is 1,000 years old. They still stuck with the leadership for life. And they're still stuck in, you know, being more interested in fighting petty squabbles, intra-racial, internal squabbles, than they are than taking the fight to the enemy. All African People's Revolutionary Party. So, and it's not, so don't think that my criticism is one-sided. And that's another thing. It's like you can't talk about one thing without talking about the other. I'll literally be like, well, the Negro elites are doing this. Oh, what about niggas killing each other in the street? What about the drugs? What about these single mothers? Like, you can't, people pretending like, if I'm targeting or if I'm talking about one particular issue, then obviously every other issue, in my opinion, either doesn't exist or is fully not relevant or is good. If I say, you know, brothers, we could. Oh, who are you talking about, brothers? What about these women? I'm not saying no. If you're criticizing brothers, you obviously think black women are perfect. You know, that's it. If you're talking about the struggles of young heterosexual families, young black families and their struggles, you know, they can't, you know, needing two incomes, not, oh, you're talking about standard families, what about atypical families, what about gay families, what, I'm like, you can't talk about anything. It's like, my car, I'm having trouble, my, you having car trouble, what about your dishwasher, what about your microwave, what about your oven? It's like, can I talk about one appliance and the issues of this appliance? And I'm not saying that all my other appliances work perfectly, but I'm just, at this particular moment, I'm dealing with this appliance. You know, and I really, that annoys the crap out of me. Now, I've tried to say that I'm no longer going to be sucked into that kind of stuff. I will just ignore people. And social media has all these little great little emojis and hashtags that really, really, truly, they get me. They are me. Thank white Jesus for the minions emojis. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Because they complete me. Anyway, as I was saying, wait, let's get out of that rabbit hole. They don't talk to each other. These septum pierced, tattooed up, Afro-punk, modern day Rosa Parkses. They don't. And these are the same girls, like Black Girl Magic, Black Beauty, Black Dark-Skinned Girls Rock, C4 Hair, but don't you dare criticize a black woman in a blonde wig. Like, everything's okay, nothing's wrong, except you. You know, anyway, they don't talk to each other at the protest. And they don't like to meet, they because, you know, how are you going to sit around a table? I'm not for sitting. We need to be in the streets, disorganized, amorphous, with no real concrete agenda. Every week is a brand new boycott. You got to be butt naked and levitate in order to adhere to all the brand new boycotts. There's no targeted action. And then the boycotts dissipate. Weren't we supposed to be boycotting Florida oranges for Trayvon or something? I mean, it just dissipates. But like I said, ain't like the old way was working. Ain't like the top-down rigid organization structures, you know, leadership for life. So, again, I'm not saying the way we did it in the 90s was perfect. We know damn well the way they did it in the 80s was perfect. In fact, in the 80s was the time where the Negroes squandered everything that was gained in the 70s and 60s. And the 60s, brothers in the 60s, you know, didn't take enough lessons from the struggles of the 50s and 40s. And the 50s and the 40s abandoned, so I'm saying abandoning the UNIA and Garvey's successes. So I'm not saying this is the first politicized generation, conscious generation, that's not doing things coherently, that is worthy of critique. All generations are worthy of critique. But I'm just talking, because I know that's the first thing. Oh, you want to talk about these young people? What about, you know? So it's impossible to talk about everything. So I guess just don't criticize nothing. I don't know. But anyway, I attracted the eyes. So first one young, pierced septum, black girl magic, black excellent, Afro-punk young lady came to me and was like, you know, your post is trash. That's how they talk. your post is trash. And I'm like, huh, since we're offering unsolicited opinions about things, I said, your whole entire pseudo-progressive, non-violent, new age, inclusionist, integration, whatever this mess you, that's whack. You're whack. You're trash. Your stuff is trash. How dare you? You know, instead of just coming and say, listen, your post has no merit. Here's my counterpoint. No, we don't engage in discourse. We just denounce things. We give a label and we denounce that label. Your stuff is trash. And so then she put out the rally cry. She tagged in two more half-shaved head, neck tattoo, septum pierced, Afro-punk, black girl excellence, modern-day Rosa Parks, integrationist, aggressive integrationist. So they jump on. And so one girl was like, how dare you shame her for being nonviolent? And of course, they started calling me a hotep. And I don't get that label often. I don't get called hotep often. There was another young lady who went not on my blog and was sharing my stuff, like, look at this hotep nonsense. And her peers were like, wait, that's not hotep nonsense. He's making some valid points. And so I don't get that label often. I mean, because I don't really qualify. The people who they call hoteps, they hate my guts. They don't like me. They say horrible things to me and about me. But I digress. And my main thing is, it doesn't offend me because, like I told the young ladies, I'm not all that enamored with Egyptian or Kemetic culture. You know, some people get mad if you call Egypt Egypt. I mean, I have people mad at me for calling North America and South America the Americas. And they come give me these obscure native original names. And I know y'all real clever walking around talking about Okebulon, Kemet, you know, whatever, Arawak, Kalinago land, whatever y'all calling these. I mean, I believe you me, nobody more than me feels the pain of losing not only your physical connection to the land, but also the traditional names. But names change, y'all. Come on now. You know, so my ancestor named it Okebulon, I'm going to call it Okebulon. But yeah, but if you're trying to fly somewhere, you're trying to put, you know, book a flight, and you get on the phone to whatever international airline you like, and you say, yes, I'd like to book two tickets to Swaziland on the continent of Okebulon. Well, so Swaziland is actually a place, you know. Well, like, oh, I'd like to book two tickets to the Dogon Kingdom and located on Okebulon. You're behind. Not only are you not getting on a plane, you might get a visit from the NSA or somebody. So you can't go to the shore in Florida and say, hey, yeah, I'd like to book a boat to the Kalinago Island. Like, where you, huh? What? Well, I refuse to use the name of the colonizer. I don't like using it either. But let that resentment that you feel every time you have to say Africa, every time you have to say the Middle East, every time you have to say America, every time you have to say Chicago, let that fuel your, I don't even want to say rage, because we got enough of that. Let that fuel your competency, your rationality, and your steadfastness in overthrowing these lands. And then when we let's get the resources, let's get the institutions, let's get the power, and then we can have all the renaming ceremonies you want to have, with all the pomp and fanfare and trumpets blowing that you want. But don't come to me in 2017 at the infancy of the struggle, where we're still, you know, trying to get basic necessities for our people. And, you know, we're trying to grow some organic food on abandoned lots. And you want us to get the naming ceremony. You know, we ain't even got to the armed overthrow of the state yet. The naming ceremony is like the last part of revolution. Renaming stuff is the last thing you do. You know, you don't raise your flag while you're still under siege. That gives away your position. Anyway, I'm sorry going down these various rabbit holes. But let's get back to the black excellence, black girl. And I hate to mock this and ridicule it, but when I first started seeing black girl magic, black excellence, I'm like, this is cool. This is really, you know, I unite with this. But then when I saw, okay, a sister standing up to the police, a sister fighting with the cops, sisters on the front lines of the struggle, black revolutionary struggle, and there's black girl excellence. I'm like, black girl magic? I know there's no magic. But if there was to be magic in the world, it would be black girl magic before everybody else. So, Yoni power, all that. But then I saw them, like, throwing that at Beyonce as she twirls around in a blonde wig on a million-dollar yacht with a bunch of other capitalist parasites. She gets the label. Serena, Jehovah's Witness Serena Williams, the Williams sisters who ain't had a political thought. I mean, these girls have been at the top of the global pinnacle and watching us suffer in the doldrums, and I ain't seen them take no real stances. And they have a lot of power, and they use it just to get more money and more exposure. And I ain't saying that ain't what you got to do, but I mean, that ain't our definition of excellence, is it? If Rosa Parks is like, I ain't sitting down on that bus. I got me a nice Mercedes, and I'm a ball out. She wouldn't be the icon that she is. People become icons when they sacrifice on behalf of the people. I don't care if you're Serena or Jesus. We recognize people for their doing what they ain't got to do, not doing what they want to do. And so they started throwing these labels at Michelle Obama, black girl. I'm like, wait a sec. Wait a minute. Everybody, what? Wait a minute. I'm starting. I don't want to mansplain, whatever the hell that is. That's another thing. Y'all got to stop. I know brothers got problems. Well, when you're critiquing black men, you have to make sure you're dealing specifically with black men. You can't put black men in the man box, just like you can't put white men in the man box. Because there's so many, you know, power and status divergence. It doesn't fit. We all don't fit in that box. That's like trying to say white women and black women. You got to, you know, when white women pull that off, people are women and people of color, you know. But let me get out of that rabbit hole, because I want to address this, because this was a rare phenomenon. I don't know if it'll happen again. I don't know if I'll get this again. But I got a full-on barrage. And it was so weird because, like I said, the young lady that came and said that my post was trash. And first they try to mock me for, because I, instead of putting the IVY, capital I, lowercase VY for Ivy League, I put capital I and capital V for Ivy League. And so they were like, oh, this stupid hotep. And so she comes on and she says, intravenous league? She was just so proud of herself. I'm sure she would have patted herself on the head, but she didn't want to mess up her little faux hawk. I don't think she had a faux hawk. I think she shaved her head and then dyed the residue of hair left blonde. But you know what I mean. Afropunk, whatever. But she's like, your post is trash, and you put Ivy League. You're so ignorant. And so I went and got this quote from a Dartmouth, because Dartmouth is one of the Ivy League schools, and there was this Dartmouth history professor named Jeer Daniels, and he said, based on the origins of calling the elite schools of the United States the Ivy League, and he stated that no one really knows the true origins of the why we call the elite schools in America the Ivy League schools, but there's one of the theories is that the I and V is for the first four major schools. You know, I think it was Yale, Princeton, Dartmouth, and some other, you know, Negro factory. And so I was like, I read that years ago, like when I was in high school, and it always stuck with me. I'm like, oh, that would be clever, the Ivy League, but it's really the Roman numeral 4. How clever. And it's always stuck with me. So whenever I think of the Ivy League, I think of the Roman numeral 4, I and V League, as opposed to Ivy, like the plant. Ivy. And so I share that. And they were mocking me for using Ivy League. But then I went and got a quote from a white man. And it's no, I could share it with you. Go to my Facebook page. It's right there. If they haven't, I think someone reported me yesterday to Facebook for that same post saying that getting accepted into the Ivy League is not black excellence is black obedience, and we need to stop confusing the two. Anyway, it's right there. They tried to mock me for saying Ivy League, but when I said, well, this white man from Dartmouth who has a PhD in history said that IV is actually a legitimate way to phrase it, the Roman numeral 4, and it has some history. And she was like, wow, that's really interesting. I didn't know that. She retracted, but she was like, but then your statement is still trash. Like, okay, now if I can find a white man that confirms my other half of my statement, I found a white man that validated me saying the Roman numeral 4 league.